fucking listen, okay?
Jules and her stupid fucking friend came up to me, and they asked me to buy her alcohol. But not just her, for a whole party. You know what that means? By some divine miracle, we were paired up, and she actually thought of me. Thought of me enough to decide that I was the guy she would trust with the whole funness of her party. She wants to fuck me. She wants my dick in or around her mouth.
Welcome to the Make Movies Great Again podcast, the only show in the universe with the sole mission of destroying cynicism at the box office. Here are your hosts, Matt, Adam, and Sean.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
We gave it a shot.
Welcome to the Make Movies Great Again podcast. My name is Matt Vieira, here with Sean Abernathy.
Hello.
And not Adam Bernardino, with Mitch Vieira.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Steely Phil.
Steely Phil. Steely Phil. Is that what your code name to be?
No, you can say whatever you want. It's your show.
Steely Phil. We're here with Steely.
Okay.
All right. Let's get right into it. So, yeah, Adam's not with us this week. Let's start with Movie Club. This week's Movie Club, we did The 36th Chamber of Shaolin. It was on Netflix. We're going to discuss it in a separate episode after this one. So just look for that separate episode, the Movie Club episode 4, The 36th Chamber of Shaolin. We have to pick a movie for next week. Do you guys have anything in mind?
Well, I mean,
I have one. If you guys don't,
I have one in mind, but I don't. I like our the diversity that we've had.
Okay.
I don't want it's martial arts.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, let's
shelve it. Come back for another one.
So I'm gonna throw this out there. This is a documentary, our first one for Movie Club. Okay, it's called Becoming Bond. Mitch and I actually already saw it, but I highly suggest. We just saw it recently, so highly recommended. It's on Hulu. If you guys don't have that, I can give you my username and password.
And just quickly, it's about the actors.
It's so
the creation of the first idea of Bond.
No, it's about George Lazenby, the only Bond to ever do just one Bond movie and then quit.
Right.
It's a fantastic story about how he went from being an Australian mechanic to like England's top model to James Bond.
So that was the second time you saw that, no?
This is the second time, so this will be the third time. I'll watch it again. Oh
my God. Is that good, huh?
So it's very good.
What's the runtime on that sucker?
Really Steely, good. Right?
I liked it. It was very funny, too.
It was, I think it's like almost 2 hours. It's just under two hours. Okay. Just shy of 2 hours.
Sounds good.
Documentary. It's done in the Drunk History style.
What?
So you know what Drunk History is? So it's like, it's not, so no, there's no drunkness.
No, it's not as goofy.
It's not Drunk History.
It's not Drunk History, but it's like that style. It's like,
they're talking about
George Lazenby is being interviewed by the director, Josh Greenbaum, and he's talking straight into the camera, and they cut from him talking to these reenactments of his childhood and of his, like, adolescence.
Oh, really?
And he's got, like, really funny stories and stuff.
Really funny stories.
Oh, really?
And it's broken up with, like, the director asking him, be like, oh, so how much of this is real? So I'm really excited for you, because I think you'll like this. And actually, Adam should be back, I believe, for the next one. So I'm going to have him watch this as well. I'm going to make sure he watches this. So we'll at least, hopefully, the four of us, maybe we'll talk about it.
Sweet.
So, Becoming Bond, and just remember, after this, the 36th Chamber Challenge, we'll be talking about that from last week's. So, let's get right into it. So, Polemetrics, I'm not going to talk about Polemetrics this week, but we're going to talk about a little tweet that we put out, and it's gained a lot of steam, and it just kind of goes along with the theme we had last week about critics and reviews and how, like, you know, people can have, I mean, the critics can say one thing and people can have totally different opinions, and I put out a tweet telling everybody, if you've seen Alien Covenant, describe it in one word. And I think we've gotten every word in the English dictionary.
Every word.
So, I mean, I'm trying to go. Right now we have like a Twitter storm going on there, but I'm trying to go back to see.
I mean, everything from pitiful to gorgeous.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
To fingering.
I think one of the more popular ones, though, was crap.
Interesting.
The name David, whatever that means.
Okay, question mark. Disappointing. Flute. Neat. Fuck. And then anybody that gave more than a one word answer, I gave him the gif of Willy Wonka, get nothing, you lose.
Yeah.
Good day, sir. So, and then a lot of people like enjoyed that as well. But it just goes to show, like, you know, people go to the movies, and that's why last week the main takeaway was, we always encourage you to see a movie for yourself rather than just look at a score.
No, absolutely. And,
well, did you see the reviews for Pirates of the Caribbean already?
What? Well, it says they're all, they said Rotten Tomatoes said they're all across the seven seas. That was the title of there.
Clever.
Well, I did, what
are they bad?
Yeah, I get some mixed reviews. Yeah, mostly mixed? Bad. Yeah.
I don't think any Pirates movie ever got stellar reviews except for maybe the first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
First one I loved.
Yeah, they kind of fell off, but I mean, they're still pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I'd still go see it.
Well, I mean, what are they really? Movie, yeah. They're a pirate movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you think people...
I think if they changed it up too much, people would probably be... Some people would be angry. Some,
isn't that always the thing? I mean, even with, like, bands.
Just to get that balance. You know?
Everybody complains that, you know, oh, they sound like a band. Yeah. They sound the same as when they first started. And then, like, but they praise the Beatles for changing their voice. Like, yeah. I don't... Yeah. They're changing their tone.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And it's all the same people. I saw someone tweet this, so this is not straight out of my mouth, but a lot of people were like... the people that complain that Hollywood has nothing original yet they're destroying Covenant because it's not like the original Alien movies.
It's like, what the fuck?
We'll get to that later on. But anyway,
we're gonna talk about that later.
We're gonna talk about that a little later. But yeah, so we put out that tweet. So if you have a one word movie description of Covenant, go over to our Twitter at Make Movies Great and leave us one of your best. One word, or else you will get the gift from me, and that'll be it.
Real quick, though, because I think later we're going to talk about the actual movie.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about being a critic as well. Do you think people mix up liking a movie and if it's a good movie or not?
Absolutely.
Like
that's one of the biggest discrepancies with movie critics, with movie ratings.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I went to the theaters a few years ago now, saw The Master. I appreciated it.
Yep.
It was a good movie. I did not like it. Yeah. I walked out of there and I was like, this wasn't for me. But I wasn't like, worst movie ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if people can just relax, like, okay, it wasn't your forte. It
can still be a good movie if you don't like
it. You can still appreciate whatever it was. You know.
I wish I could find... sorry.
No, I mean, even if it's not like artistically perfect cinematography, you know, it's like, what is it? Is it good or bad? I mean,
Someone tweeted, and it was probably the best tweet we got about Alien Covenant. Someone said, and I wish I could find it quickly, but I like so many tweets that it's buried now. But basically, the gist of it was that she explained that she understood why some of the bad reviews. She understood that, but she said that she enjoyed the movie, and that was enough for her. That's kind of like the spirit of what we were trying to get at last week. It's like if the movie's if you like the movie, then you like the movie. I mean, no one can take that away from you. So, and it's also like there's a few people on Twitter right now that are like crusade. I'm the first person to say I crusade for movies, but it seems like this guy's like really crusading against movies, and there's people like trying to meet his resistance. And
yeah.
I don't know. He pulled out the I have good taste in movies, so he already lost. He's already lost.
That's a tough line.
What does that mean?
I'm smart.
My God.
Yeah, he was tearing apart. He's like I have good taste in movies, number one. So, well, anyway.
Shout out to him. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, Bad Bitch Kenobi, if you're listening.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't hate you, because he's interacting with us.
Nah.
He's interacting with us, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, so we'll come back to Aliens.
Yeah, so let's get into bad movie descriptions.
Is this good or bad?
That's a good one.
Did you know that's from?
Yo, what's that from?
It's from Armageddon when the Russian guy pulls the straw. So, all right. So let's get into it. Mitch. Right, Steely.
I got two of them.
All right. Start with one, and then we'll do...
Roll one.
I tried to make
them really hard so you guys couldn't get them, but still make sense.
Right, I'm not going to... The one and you I told
threw some,
earlier,
I threw some say. Verbiage in there.
Yeah, you got to do something.
To throw you off.
Thesaurus is your greatest ally in this game.
I have to fluctuate my verbiage.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is... A slave and military man is able to work throngs of onlookers into a supportive lather by giving them some free swag without the use of an air cannon in an effort to avenge his family's untimely demise at the hands of a young Johnny Cash.
Holy shit.
Young Johnny Cash is Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay.
I think that's where he's going.
Alright.
Oh, it's Gladiator.
Gladiator.
I was gonna say Gladiator, slave, and what was the first part of
military
slave?
Man.
I almost thought Gladiator there. I wasn't gonna
give you the Young Johnny Cash part because I thought it gave it away. But it was just enough. Yeah.
What's the free swag?
Cause when he throws the sword.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's really good. Alright, so we have a call in.
You've got some mail.
So let's hear this one.
Hey guys, it's Adam. Sorry I can't be there today. I'm
Adam Hill?
Trekking around Adam. The U.S., but
where is
Matt, I can't wait to hear about Alien Covenant. And I almost fell off a mountain out here when I heard that Tom Hardy was going to be Venom. I've got a bad movie description for you guys. Give me 1 second, I'll pull it up on my phone.
Sick brag about being in the mountains. He's in Arizona, I think.
Arizona. Yeah.
He's seeing the
okay, you ready?
World.
Yeah,
the
we're ready.
The federal government uses the help of a cannibal to catch an aspiring transsexual that's making a cope.
I mean,
okay?
Wait, let so me know what you to think. Sneaking a what?
I'm sure this week's episode will be great. Catch you guys next week. See ya.
We all know what it is.
It's Hannibal, right?
Silence of the Lambs.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. He's right, though. The federal government, I mean, it doesn't necessarily pay him, but...
Well, that's funny. You
know, it's funny. Making a coat. All
right, I got one. Okay, so... A dystopian future where, in the face of mass human extinction, it takes less resources to teach blue-collar workers how to become astronauts than astronauts to become oil drillers. Also, in this dystopian future, it is considered a turn-on to shove animal crackers down each other's pants.
Do you know it, Mitch?
Dystopian future?
That's what's going to throw you off.
I mean, I thought it was...
I know this one.
I thought it was going to be Armageddon for a second.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But right, why is it a dystopian future?
Just because I gave the thing. It's like people right. would.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's easier to train, you know, because that's, you know.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was, yeah.
You ever hear Ben Affleck go off on that? You
ever
Oh, man, you got to look it up. YouTube video. You could just probably type in Ben Affleck bus the director. Who's the director of that?
Is that James Cameron.
James Cameron. Bust James Cameron's chops about.
Maybe I did see that.
Yeah, he's sitting there, funny. And he's like, and apparently James Cameron was just like, "Shut up, Ben." That's
hilarious. All right, Mitch, what's your last one?
This one's pretty tough too. A doctor tries desperately to not follow in his grandfather's footsteps, and although he eventually gives in with some help from a friend with a speech impediment, he is able to put on a riveting choreographed performance to a song about crackers.
Oh, shit.
He told this to me on the phone earlier, and I couldn't get it, and I got it like an hour ago, like before you guys came. So
although he eventually gives in with some help,
I'm not gonna say it.
The speech impediment. That's the clue.
I think the last part is a big clue as well.
I don't know this one. Song about crackers?
It's Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh.
Putting on the Ritz.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
If you guys have your own bad movie descriptions, send them to us at Twitter at @MakeMoviesGreat or call us 401-285-8120 and we'll play them on the show.
Yeah, make sure you wait a few seconds before you give us the answer at the end of them.
Yes.
Give us some time to think about it. We can pause it or something.
If you tweet us, just send us it. If you have a voicemail, leave some gap. So that was bad movie descriptions.
Is this good or bad?
real Armageddon heavy episode. All right, let's get into movie news.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
So, Get Out. Is that the first time you heard that intro?
No, I don't know. I don't remember hearing it.
You gotta get the one from "That's the Way the Cookie Crumbles."
I have to do a better one, but that
I like that one.
So, Get Out is out on Blu-ray, and just like Jordan Peele promised, there's an alternate ending on the DVD, and we know what that alternate ending is. Last week, Adam did not want us to say it. But it's kind of very simple to understand if you've seen Get Out. Did you see Get Out?
No.
Oh shit!
It turned. You can. I mean, you can.
Well,
say
we're gonna
it.
Give
I mean,
away the alternate ending.
Yeah. So in the alternate ending, is his name Chris. What's the main character's name? Chris.
Yeah. No, the main character.
Right. The main character. He.
Kills her.
Kills her.
Right. Strangles her.
Yeah.
Which he does in the regular one.
Yes. And then.
Sorry, Mitch.
Yeah, that's
all good. And then the cops show up.
And the cops show up.
But it's the real cops.
Which is what I thought was going to happen.
Me too. I mean, I think I'm glad they did it.
Oh,
I'm glad they did it the way they did it because...
So glad.
Not only because it's a good ending the way it happened in theaters. Like, it's, you know, you feel relieved a little bit.
I needed the relief.
You needed the relief. But also, you would have never in the world thought that Rod would show up in his TSA truck.
No, it was, yeah.
You know what I mean? So with this, you were like, it's going to be the cops. He's going to get shot on sight. Like, this Rod is like, you up. Can, yeah. And then Rod shows up in the TS motherfucking A.
This is fantastic. Sorry. And you know what's funny about the new one is that, it's what we all thought, right? Evidence is gone. He's screwed. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Or they're just going to shoot him on sight.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But he feels like he won in the alternate ending as well. Like, he feels like it's over.
Yeah,
He's talking about it. Sure. He's like, I don't care. Just, I got him.
He gets the relief, but we don't get it. Which, right. I'm selfish and I want the relief.
Right. But I thought it was, as far as an alternate, I wouldn't have hated it. It wouldn't have killed the movie for me, but I love the actual ending. Yeah. It was awesome.
This will definitely be a movie I have in my Blu-ray collection. I'm trying to get more limited on the movies that I have in my collection and get rid of ones that I don't watch all the time.
See how long that lasts.
So it's not going well so far. But this is a movie that's definitely... this is one of the best, like most inventive movies I've seen in a long time. It was awesome. It's very topical.
This is fantastic. I mean, and
you
if
should
you,
see that. You
get out.
Like, yeah,
oh, it's really like good. If you read about how he came up with the idea... an article I read a few weeks ago, it was like, it just evolved. Like, it started off like 2008 or something. He started writing.
Really?
Like, after Obama got elected the first time, like, he said that inspired him partially. And
he said while he was doing Key, I was listening to an interview with him today on the Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
And Chris Hardwick does a great podcast.
Thanks for listening, Chris.
Thanks for listening, Chris. He does great interviews. But he was, Jordan Peele was saying that when Key and Peele's wrapping up, he knew he had this like story to tell. It's one of the reasons why he didn't continue on with Key and Peele. So he obviously, like you said, he's been thinking about it for a long time. So yeah,
it's very interesting.
It was awesome. So support Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele. He's the first black director to debut over $100 million.
It's awesome
At the box office, which is crazy. It's 2017. I mean, that shouldn't be a
yeah. It's a too record. Bad that it's being the first, broken now. Good for him.
Next up, Tom Holland. Mitch, you know who Tom Holland is?
Yeah.
New Spider-Man. New Spider-Man got casted as young Nathan Drake.
Saw that.
So, for those of you who don't know, Nathan Drake is a video game character. Mm-hmm. Now, before you jump to conclusions, because there's a lot of bad video game movies out there, you know, subjectively.
Yeah, subjectively.
This video game franchise, I feel like, is the closest, like, it kind of lends itself to a movie.
Well,
it was like a movie. Like, when you play those games...
make any video game into a movie.
It's Indiana Jones.
You're gonna make.
Yeah. It's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So,
which I hear you, and I want to agree, but like I'm so afraid that's gonna suck.
Oh yeah,
because game was so. And how many hours of gameplay?
It's
like
a lot.
That was like the fun part is that you were watching a movie, but it was like
Those movie games are long.
The experience was a lot of fun.
Did you guys play the third one?
You play for the cutscenes, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah, you don't skip any of those cutscenes.
No.
So. So you guys didn't play the third one? Do you play the third one?
I played the first two.
So apparently they're basing this one off the third one. I just recently played it, early last year. It's Sully, who is the main character, and he's kind of like his mentor, Nathan Drake's mentor. He, like, it shows, like, the cutscene is how, and, like, the whole part of the game is how it flashbacks to how he meets Sully and how he, like, goes, like, he puts him under his wing and things like that.
Yeah.
So...
that's cool.
It should be pretty cool. And obviously, when I first read that, I was like, I don't think Tom Holland's really the right age to be playing Nathan Drake because he's kind of like in his late 30s, early 40s.
So it's going to be a younger Nathan Drake.
It's going to be when he first meets Sully, I assume. So who plays Sully? Because that's a character that like could, Jeff Bridges.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time with that when I first saw it. Like, I'm excited to be seeing this. Like, I love the Uncharted franchise. I love Tom Holland because he is such a perfect Spider-Man.
So perfect.
He's exactly who I picture. Yeah. I'm so excited for it. It's going to be awesome. But Spider-Man can't play Nathan Drake to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, that's weird. But, you know, he's an actor. He can change the way, you know, whatever. But
I mean,
it does give me hope that it's a younger Nathan Drake.
Yeah. And you really, I mean, other than Spider-Man, what has this kid been in?
Nothing. This is his coming out party. He's getting all the roles now.
Yeah. He must be.
And you know he's probably the exact demographic that played this game. Like, he probably was in line.
Yeah.
Like, he's a totally normal kid. He was probably the first person in line at GameStop or wherever the hell, whatever video game store he's from, like, getting this game. So,
yeah.
He's probably like, obviously, like, that's like us when we were like, you know, 18, 19, being like, hey, you want to be cast in the Halo movie? Fuck yeah, I want to be cast in the Halo movie. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
they gotta come out with that Halo.
He was casted in this. It's gonna be a Sony property, and obviously it's a Sony. It's a PlayStation exclusive, so Sony owns the rights to it. The Sony executives were watching clips from Spider-Man, and they basically gifted him the role.
Really?
I was reading that. So that's also a good sign for Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
it's a very good sign for Spider-Man because that means that they obviously are like he's gonna kill it.
He must be good. He must be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see young Nathan Drake being quippy and sarcastic. And
oh, totally. The way old Nathan Drake is. Yeah. It's got to start from somewhere, right?
So it should be good. I'm excited.
So we got some other exciting news. I guess it's kind of exciting. They're trying to reboot the Universal Monster movies, and the first one that's coming out is The Mummy with Sophia... What's her name? Sophia Boutella. And Tom Cruise. And then from there, they're calling it the Dark Universe. So they're trying to go after, like, how Marvel's doing their universe, how DC's doing their universe, Transformers is doing their own universe with the Bumblebee spinoff now. So they're trying to do that, and so the main actors they're having in is Russell Crowe's playing Dr. Hyde, and he's going to be in the Mummy movie.
Yeah.
And then they have the Invisible Man, who is Javier Bardem. Johnny Depp, they haven't released what character he's going to be playing or what capacity he's going to be in these movies, but he's also part of the Universal... Dark Universe.
Are they all in that?
Bride of
in
the Frankenstein.
Mummy? No, they're not. The Bride of Frankenstein. They're not all in the Mummy movie. The Mummy movie is only Tom Cruise, Sophia Boutella, and Russell Crowe. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about this monster universe? Like,
Those monster movies, those old time monster movies, have such a different feel than what they're gonna do.
No,
with
of course,
these.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be like the same thing. So. It depends. Honestly, the big thing for me is The Mummy. I've seen these big blockbuster Mummy movies before. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. I'm not a big fan of Tom Cruise. It's not a secret.
Yeah.
But I probably will end up, I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but I'll definitely see this Mummy movie and I'll probably enjoy it. Frankenstein's going to be interesting because Frankenstein really hasn't, actually it has. Aaron Eckhart was in Frankenstein not too long ago. But anyway.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been touched in a long time. Frankenstein, like really the intellectual property for Frankenstein. So it could be interesting. Does Dracula get?
I was gonna say I'm looking at Johnny Depp right now. I zoomed in on the picture.
Does he look?
That's Dracula.
Does he look like a vampire?
tell me that's not Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Slick hair and like I don't know. He's got I don't know.
They should have put him in one of those what do they call it? The toe pincher coffins. Is that what they call those coffins? Like the old timey like the. Bram Stoker, Dracula, coffins, they're like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're called toe pinchers.
I don't know.
Keep your toes.
I didn't know they had a different name.
Yeah, they're called... Anyway.
I don't know.
But that's actually a good point. But yeah, Bride of Frankenstein and then...
That's like, interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, these guys are just misunderstood? They're our heroes?
Are they going to come together like
you know?
Avengers?
Yeah. Or
what can you do?
I think it's just villainous.
Or are they the... You know, are they the Suicide Squad?
Oh my God!
Gotta summon the money, mummy. Excuse me. Get me the mummy. Show me the mummies.
I think it's all gonna depend on what Sophia Boutella's character is like. If she has any redeeming qualities at all, because from the trailers and from the previous Mummy movies I've seen, those mummy characters, those mummy villains, have zero redeeming character. They're just straight on villains, straight antagonists, just. No redeeming qualities about him, how Suicide Squad is supposed
exactly.
to be.
No, exactly. Yeah.
The band of bad guys that you like. So I don't know. And it seems like she's going to be in the other picks. So
if they're villains, were they going to revive Brothers Grimm?
I guess. Heath Ledger and Matt Damon.
Get Heath Ledger and Matt Damon.
Rest in peace. I just watched that the other day. It's on Netflix, actually.
What are you talking about? Brothers Grimm.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
It's odd.
Van Helsing. Is that the other one?
Yeah, Van Helsing. That's the one with who's Van Helsing in that movie?
That's
Did you know what?
It's Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Hugh Jackman. 2004. Oh.
You know what is a good? Forgetting the name. Luke Evans. He played Gaston, and he's also do you know what I'm talking about?
Dracula
Luke Evans?
Untold.
Yes, Dracula Untold. Did you see that? It came out in 2014.
Oh, Fast and Furious 6?
Yes, he's the, one of the Shaw brothers. He's yes, Shaw. That's right. He's Shaw. Just Shaw, it says on here. But he's Owen Shaw. Okay. Yeah, so
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
They're trying to make this universe. I feel like it's just a trendy thing for people to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Because their universe is scattered all over the place. And if you want to really count Universal monsters in there, isn't that kind of what they're doing with King Kong and Godzilla?
Is that the
Universal monsters too? That's not Universal monsters.
Those
not,
are the heavyweights.
Yeah.
This is the welterweights.
This is going to be a movie.
What?
King Kong Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a movie. Yeah. Definitely. Well, they're
going to bring the Jaegers in too.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started.
The Gundams.
So.
The Zoids.
I don't want to get too far, of course. Sorry. But now we're going to talk about Pacific Rim 2. Because Pacific Rim 2.
Wait, I don't see that on the docket.
Listen, I'm putting it in now. I'm putting it in all caps. Of course. Listen, Pacific Rim 2, it was Charlie Hunnam was from the beginning not going to be in it. But, recently, while he's been doing his press junkets for Arthur, he said that it was a scheduling conflict for him being in Pacific Rim 2 as like a main character. But he basically said that he's in it. What is up with this guy?
He did the same thing with Green Arrow.
And now people are saying that he's linked to play Green Lantern. I can't have this.
Well, next step is he denies it. Step after that, he confirms it.
If he denies it, you know it's true.
Yeah.
I can't have this. So I don't know. I feel like Charlie Hunnam is...
I can't trust him.
I like Charlie Hunnam a lot, and I enjoyed King Arthur, but he needs to be better about his career, I feel like. He needs a career counselor. He really does, because he could be doing like what all these other guys are doing. Like, look at, like...
You know what? Van Helsing. Be a perfect Van Helsing.
You think so?
Sure.
Throw him in there?
I feel like he's
so popular, and he's a good-looking guy, and a lot of people like him. Like, I guarantee a majority of the money that Arthur made was because Charlie Hunnam was King Arthur.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
Sons of Anarchy.
He's hot right now. You could put him in anything.
He did an interview, and they had people from the audience. There wasn't one question about King Arthur. It was all about Sons of Anarchy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There was actually one girl who came up, and she had bought one of his, like, scene-worn shirts, and she, like, asked him to sign it, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love this shirt. Like, I wore it all the time, and she's like, I have one other question. Like, your bike from season 1 and 2, like, where is that bike? And he's like, oh, I actually stole it. Like, I took it from set, and it's in my garage right now. And no one's, like, came and got it. And apparently it was her dad's bike that they sold to the movie studio to be in Sons of Anarchy.
The movie studio
bought it, and he has it in his garage, which is a pretty cool thing.
Right? That's cool.
That's dope.
Very off base.
Good fact.
So the last thing, we're going to talk about Tom Holland again.
Tom Holland?
Technically. Because Tom Hardy got casted as Venom, which is going to be the next Spider-Man movie. So it's going to be Tom Holland and Tom Hardy, not side by side, but in the same movie.
You guys like Tom Hardy?
I love... Well, first of all, if you look back at Tom Hardy's record for playing superheroes... villains.
Pretty good.
He's one for one.
At least.
100%. He's slugging.
Bane is arguably one of the best supervillains in any superhero movie that's ever been made. In one of the best trilogies of superhero movies that's ever been made.
Definitely the best trilogies.
It's amazing. So, the Christian Bale Batman. This is exciting because I know a few months ago, like a month ago, we talked about how this could be possible where Venom, Sony wanted to get the rights to Venom and make a Venom movie. And we were like, who's going to play Eddie Brock? I don't think they could have got a better guy. I'm very, very satisfied with
this pick.
It's
a good cast. I like
very, very satisfied with this pick. So,
now that's going to be exciting.
Yep.
Now, enlighten me. Is Venom going to have his own movie before?
No, probably not. I think you're going to get everything you need from his character in this one. I hope they do these Spider-Man movies like they do the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, where they're separate from the Avengers universe. They're still in the same universe, but different from the Avengers movies.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Iron Man is in Homecoming, we know that. Yeah. But it seems like he's the only one that's in it.
Well.
Hopefully. Yeah. I think they need time to develop. We know this character because it's been done so many times. Mm-hmm. Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, but We need time to meet Tom Holland as Spider-Man. We also need time to meet Eddie Brock as Venom, so I think that they'll probably leave it to just Venom and Tom Holland and Spider-Man, with maybe a few cameos from other heroes here and there, but concentrating just on Spider-Man, which will be very good. So
they have no problem doing that.
Exciting times. Yeah. All right, let's get into the main topic of the day, Alien Covenant. You didn't see it?
I did not, Sean? See it.
Mitch and I saw it over the weekend.
Fun fact, I'm going to come out. Are we in the trust tree?
Don't even say it. Mm. Is this like the Adam with Indiana Jones? Yeah. You've never seen an Alien movie? No. Sean, what are you doing?
Hey, why
Sean?
Do you think I've been shutting up about it? I don't know.
Okay, no, we're in the trust tree. We're in the trust tree.
Hey, so, listen.
So it's in the trust tree.
I'm a blank slate.
I'm going to jump off the trust tree and burn it down.
Might get a couple of spoilers, though, for you.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, if Sean loves the movies getting spoiled for him.
I mean, if I haven't seen it by now, like, is it not my fault?
So listen, I'm going to send out a warning right now. We're not doing a spoiler cast for Covenant, but there's probably going to be some spoilers coming out. So if you don't want Alien Covenant spoilers, turn off the podcast now.
No. Just fast forward.
Fast forward to the end.
Do not turn
off. The last part of this podcast, we're going to talk about our... we're going to pitch a movie club, and then we'll go into the movie club. But Alien Covenant. Reviews have been, by our Twitter's account, all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Here's my main thing, and I've tried to pinpoint where I was going to start this conversation. My main thing is, you have to look at the Alien franchise as two totally separate movie
arcs.
From where?
Totally.
Where does it separate?
Alien, okay, well, Alien, Aliens, Alien 3...
So the first
and,
four.
And that right, fourth so one, four. Alien Resurrection. those are one. Mm-hmm. Then you have Prometheus and Covenant. You have to look at it that way.
What about AVP? Actually, I have seen AVP.
No, AVP. I mean, I have seen AVP. I do like AVP, and I do like Requiem, too.
I have seen that.
Requiem's the second one.
You can't hate those movies. They give you exactly what you
exactly
want.
Exactly what you want from those movies. Alien versus Predator. That's what.
Freddy versus Jason. Alien versus Predator.
Yeah. I actually did. You like Freddy vs. Jason? Yeah, I like that. Yeah. But anyway, those movies don't count. They're in their own.
All right, so there are different arcs.
Totally different arcs.
Different universe.
Well, not same totally different line. Arcs. Same timeline. Time they are the same timeline. But the problem that people have is everybody comparing these new Covenant, like Covenant and Prometheus, the Prometheus Covenant line, to the original Alien.
Well,
totally like, different movies. Well, they're totally different movies.
I looked at reviews before I saw it, and a lot of people said that it was the same as the first Alien, and some people said that it wasn't like it at all. I don't know. And I saw it, and I didn't think it was.
No.
I didn't think it was very different than the original film.
If you,
very different.
I think you agree with me. I think I talked with you after the movie. But the beginning of the third act, they're back up on the main ship. So they come down on this planet, but they're back up on the main ship, and it's Danny McBride and Catherine Waterston.
Oh, and great. Now I know they live that long.
It's very...
Just kidding.
You knew what you were getting yourself into. Yeah. You should have fast-forwarded. So they go back up into the ship, but it's very Alien 1-esque. It's the first time they're dealing with a full-fledged xenomorph in the Prometheus Covenant line, because hasn't been... I'll get to that in a second, why they haven't seen one yet. But it's up in the ship, and they're like basically corralling it and trying to...
It's very much like it. Like when they couldn't get into the door into the infirmary in the first one.
Yep.
It was like a kind of like homage.
It was a lot of bright white lights.
Yeah.
A lot of steam.
Hallways. That's cool. Hallways.
Practical effects.
I mean, when I think Alien, I've seen clips of it. Yeah. That's what I think Sigourney Weaver.
It was totally like that. And I just have to give props. Thanks for listening, Catherine Waterston. But she was awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, she was good.
Is that Daniels I keep hearing about?
Yeah. So she's Daniels, and then Daniel McBride is Tennessee. He's the pilot.
I think the captain. I thought he was pretty good too. I don't know his name.
Yeah, there was another thing with this movie, which I'm not gonna say it's a problem, but you don't really get invested in a lot of the characters early on.
That's one thing. That's one thing that
they were kind of throwaway.
Ridley Scott is so used to doing these dark, kind of gritty movies. And this one felt to me, it's not necessarily bad, but it felt to me like a slasher movie. You didn't get the build up, you didn't get the tension building as in some of the other ones.
Well,
especially the first one.
you do get tension, but it's not built over a long period of time like a traditional thriller.
True.
It's more like an action movie where the tension rises and falls.
Like,
so you get you get like builds up, like really extreme build up, and then it falls back down, and you get like, and then you get like more of the story told. Whereas a thriller, it builds throughout to the end.
Yeah.
Mm.
So did you want to be more invested because you wanted to know more about them, or like, did you feel like you didn't care about them when they died? Like,
you didn't. That's the thing. You didn't care.
All right. So, but I had a real issue with movies. Just so you guys seen Life? Ryan Reynolds in it.
No, I didn't see it.
All right. I'm spoiling the crap out of this.
Go for it.
All right. First 10 minutes is like, la di da. They're floating through space. Things are going well. There's like an intense thing that's going on, and like one person's the cocky one, one person's the nervous one, one's the smart one, one's the goofy one. They're just doing these like little one-liners to tell you which one it is. Oh gosh, one's wife just had a baby on Earth, and then this one's can't wait talking to his family, can't wait to get home. It's like, it's just, it felt like 10 minutes of, hey, you know, care about these people because they're about to die, and I just didn't care. Like, I knew they were gonna die.
So
you know they're gonna die, and I just feel like it just feels forced.
You gotta build the personality, and then to make someone care about it.
I think by this point in the Alien movies, you know most of the people are gonna die.
Yeah, so
you know they're gonna die.
I would kind of. What I'm saying is, I think I would appreciate that.
What?
All right, there's a character I know he's gonna die.
It honestly felt like it was just like, I don't know. The movie felt like it was just moving the series along.
That's kind of what it felt like. This will bring me to my next point about Ridley Scott in this movie. So, Prometheus, if anybody remembers when Prometheus came out in 2012, that long ago, came out in 2012, a lot of people didn't like the direction he was taking Alien. It was a total prequel. It was kind of showing where the alien species came from. It was talking, there was a lot of philosophy talk about our creators, about like, you know, what would you ask your creator if you were able to meet them? Why did they create us? Did they just do it because they could? Did they do it for a reason? Like, a lot of, like, really heavy philosophy stuff. And people didn't like that.
People pushed back. So, Ridley comes back with
his greatest hits.
Right.
This is what Covenant is. It's his greatest hits. On the record, I enjoyed Covenant. I really did. I thought it was a good movie.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, they really have come so far. No matter what anybody tells you online, people are saying that they were comparing this to a sci-fi TV channel, like a CGI movie, like CGI. And I don't know if you've seen it. There's no way if you've seen a sci-fi TV movie lately. You clearly haven't been watching.
Yeah, no, Sharknado. It wasn't that bad. I fully appreciate practical effects, and I'd much rather see as much practical effects as you can fit into a movie.
Did you?
But it was not that bad.
So,
it wasn't that bad.
So this is Ridley's greatest hits. This is he wanted to. There's still that. I feel like he rushed over at some parts. There's still that like philosophy. You know, you still get the creator's answer. You still get a lot of that stuff. Did you see Prometheus?
No.
You didn't see? Oh, that's right. You haven't seen any of them.
I heard terrible things.
So I'll let you borrow it.
That's great. I'd love to do that. I have a question. Two questions.
Yes.
Is this the second of like three?
It's gonna be. I think there's gonna be a third one in this series, at least.
So is this kind of like a Matrix 2-ism, where it was just trying to get you to the third one?
No, I think there's one character. There's one character that builds.
David. Yeah. Uh-huh.
David the android, played by Michael Fassbender. He also plays another android in this movie. He plays two.
Plays himself.
Let me guess, Walter.
Yes, Walter. Yeah. His character is the most intriguing and most dynamic character the Alien movies have ever seen.
Yeah.
Since Ripley. Like,
it was not. It was Ripley great. Scott. I thought he was. I thought he was definitely the best in the movie.
And at the end of this movie, you really want to see. It's like a very unsettling ending. Mm. I'm not going to give that away for you. But no. It's very.
If they
unsettling.
Wanted to, they could have. Just ended it like that.
So Covenant,
because you know exactly what happens.
Yeah.
After that.
Prometheus was a probe mission.
Okay, so my next question was, chronologically, in the Alien universe, what's the first movie?
Prometheus.
And then
Covenant.
Okay.
And then whatever these next movies are going to be, then Alien 2, Aliens.
So in Alien, they know these aliens exist.
They start
the movie off knowing these aliens exist.
In Prometheus.
Nope, an alien.
No, they don't.
So,
well, so here's the thing.
It gets deeper.
They're way out in space. They kind of allude to this in Covenant, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
They are leaving. They're like, you know, they're doing their logbooks. They're like messages. They're leaving their logbooks, and they were like, at the end of it, I think it was Tennessee. He says his log, and then he sends it, and he goes, "Hopefully, you'll get that in 1167 years, like 1300 years." So think about how much like there's no communication. It's like people started at Earth and like in this universe, people just colonized and spread out and started mining over here and settling over here. And
so there's no advancement in technology of sending things through space. Yeah.
No. So it still takes forever. So the Prometheus was a probe. They were going out there. You find out that Peter Whalen of Whalen Corp, the company that owns all these spaceships, that all fuck up. Their stock must be horrible. But anyway, I don't know how they were still a company by the time Alien came around. But so they're going out to like search for their creators. Covenant is a mission to, and I'm sure Covenant the word means something to do with like colonizing or something, but it's a colonizing mission. So it's the however many crew, 15 crew members. 14, 7 sets of couples and David and Walter.
Yeah.
And then like 2100 colonists.
I think it's 2000.
2000 colonists and then a bunch of embryos. Just in drawers.
Mm-hmm. In drawers.
So they're going to like this place and they're going to this what's the name of the planet? Ogre. That's not Ogre.
Yeah, I forgot the name. It was.
Anyway, they're going to this planet. They have planned. They know this planet they're going to. All of a sudden, they're out there, and they hear this, like, transmission from a closer planet. They scan the planet. It's habitable. It's, you know, they go down. They find David. Elizabeth Shaw from Prometheus. She's inexplicably dead. You find out more about that. But David's character is really the star of the show in this, as far as, like, character development.
Yeah.
So. And also, James Franco's in it for a hot second. Like, when I say hot second... It literally, actually, that's funny. No pun intended. Literally, hot second. Like his pod at the beginning of the movie. Like literally, the first thing when they wake from cryo, sleep, they have to be brought out of it early because they get hit with like an EMP or something or like something, and his pod like gets stuck shut and he burns alive inside of it. Like literally at the beginning, and the only time you see him act is like a flashback where it's Daniel's husband. He's the captain of the ship. She looks back at like a photo frame like that has like a video in it, and he talks to it, and that's it. And he's also in the prologue. Remember?
Yeah.
So,
but that wasn't a spoiler cast.
No. Well, that was definitely a spoiler cast. We warned people. I didn't want to do a whole episode on this, but I just wanted to touch on it. I thought that it was interesting, all the people that are like, how across the board people still enjoyed it, but then there was people that are still very like bitter about it not being Alien from 1979.
Some people just expected that. Same director. Yep.
And it's tough. And I think Ridley Scott, again, for the record, I like this movie. I think Ridley Scott tried to please too many people with this one.
Mm. Yeah, definitely a crowd pleaser.
I think he should have kept... There was a lot... I think there's like this niche group of people that really liked the Prometheus storyline and where they were going with it. I think if he kept going with that, like that way, it would have got better.
Would have alienated a lot of others, though.
Oh, Sean, you're so clever. So clever. Probably would have. It opened up to the tune of $40 million this year domestically, so. Mm.
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. All right, so are you guys watching anything interesting now? You guys been watching anything cool?
So I watched Twin Peaks last night.
Oh, the new one. Though.
Yeah.
So I've never, what is the original Twin Peaks?
Have you guys ever watched this?
Never watched it.
Mitch?
No.
Is it a TV
show?
It's
on Netflix.
Okay.
It's two seasons. It's like, the second season is 24 episodes. First one might be shorter.
Wait, is the original one on there too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, the original one's on Netflix.
The original
one's
on Netflix.
The new one's on Showtime.
Oh, okay.
It premiered last night, parts 1 and 2. This show, I'll tell you, Matt, you'd love it. Mitch, you'd probably love it. It just takes you for a ride. Like, you don't know what's going on.
What's it about?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell us because you don't.
Laura Palmer gets killed. A special agent Dale Cooper comes to town.
David Lynch is in it.
David Lynch directs it.
David Lynch directs.
He's the creator. This is a glimpse into David Lynch's mind, and it's insane. Okay? And it's awesome. I mean, so much happens. I'll tell you. There's demons, possessions type stuff. scandals. It's just hilarious. I mean, it's goofy. There's like a ton of comedy in it.
A little bit of everything.
It's so funny, and it's the funniest thing. Some of the funniest things that stick out to me is the awkward pacing and conversations between the characters.
Mm.
And the new series does it as well. I mean, last night it looked like the type of like the actor directing. I mean, it just looks exactly the same as the early 90s.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch it, so I'll have to check that out.
And I watched this several months ago now with Molly.
Yeah.
We were watching it, and we knew the new one was coming out, but we didn't really know anything about it. So we start watching it, and I'm like, this is kind of a nutty show. And then toward the end of it, there's a line where the girl says to the main guy, I'll see you in 25 years. And that was 25 years ago.
That's when the show ended, 25 years ago? What?
Like the last episode, she says, I'll see you in 25 years.
That's crazy.
And this year is 25 years from when it last aired.
So do you think he's had this planned for...
Well, okay, I know he has, because I know for a fact there's like a 400-page novel that he wrote, like script that he wrote, that he would have loved to see this. I mean, this is an epic show. You guys have to watch it. I mean, he didn't want to have like Laura Palmer's killer revealed at all. The network made him. I won't tell you who or whatever. The network made him, but he would have like, by now, he's like, you still wouldn't know who killed her.
Wow.
But I mean, everybody loved it, and some people say because they revealed it, it kind of killed the show, which is why it's only two seasons. But yeah, I mean, I have a feeling he had it planned, and last night's episode it was under 2 hour special. It was bonkers.
So they have both of them on Netflix.
Yeah, no, they have all the original ones on Netflix.
The original ones, not the new ones. New ones coming out live. They're live on TV.
New ones
now.
On Showtime.
All right.
There's only parts one and two, and I think they released one and two at 9 o'clock last night, and I think 3 and 4 at midnight.
Dope.
So they've already had 4 episodes out. It's an 18 part. Season, but it's a lot of time and a lot of brain space.
Are they hour episodes?
Yeah, or just under.
Yeah,
like one of those, you know, 42-minute episodes.
Yeah, with commercials. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's really, just let it take you along for a ride.
I didn't realize it came out 25 years ago.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Let it take you along for the ride. Just suspend your disbelief and have fun. I mean, it's a crazy show.
I love that.
But
love it.
That's dope. Yeah, sounds dope.
So I've been watching, per Mitch's direction, I've been watching Archer.
Archer's
good.
Show. I've been watching Archer.
Really funny.
My head is.
And that's really it. I've been still watching Gundam. I'll talk more about that when we talk about the movie club thing, because I want to talk about dubbing versus subtitles.
Oh yeah. Well, you saw Covenant, so you haven't been watching.
Yeah, I've watched La La Land 2 times since I bought it on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Yeah,
I have to borrow that. Do you have all the aliens?
You could, yeah. I have
Prometheus.
Maybe
I should borrow those sometime.
You definitely should. Right now, I'll give them to you after this.
Well, not now. I'm moving, so I don't want to lose them. Once a year, I move.
it's already that time.
Yeah, it's that time, man.
Did you watch anything cool? Did you watch the Man Who Knew Too Much yet?
No, I didn't watch that yet.
Classic Hitchcock. Have you seen that?
No.
It's my favorite Hitchcock movie.
Oh, yeah, guys.
I still have it.
I've been watching a lot of that Cinefix.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome YouTube channel guys. Yeah.
That counts as what you're watching.
Those guys are fucking awesome. Yeah. Those lists are amazing. But one that keeps coming up, okay, of course, Citizen Kane. It's like classic all-time movie. And they kind of laugh about it, too, because it comes up a lot. The Third Man. I need to watch this.
Third Man.
It's Orson Welles plays like the third man, but I just keep hearing amazing things about it, especially from these guys, and I trust these guys' opinion because they know way more about it than me. I need to look it up. It's black and white. Apparently, it's an incredible movie.
That's crazy.
Check it out.
1949.
Yeah, it's comes highly recommended from them. So that's what they're watching.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, Cinefix.
And you're watching them.
Well, it's meta. who's watching The Watcher?
No one watches The Watcher.
All right, so what do you think? We're going to move on to...
Yeah, let's move on. So we're going to end it here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Make Movies Great, we will respond to you, guaranteed. And if we don't, then you can, send me a bill in the mail. And call us, 401-285-8120, if you want to talk about Covenant, what you thought about it. If you want to talk about anything, ask us a question. We'll play it as a voicemail on the next show, or if you have a good bad movie review, bad movie synopsis. So, sent bad movie description.
Right.
Send us that. Make sure you put a little gap at the end of it, and then give us the name of the movie so we can chop it up so we don't give it away to everybody. Yeah. And until next week, thanks everybody for listening. Tom Hanks, thank you. Thank you for listening.
I don't have it.
Shit. I didn't even guess. Mitch, thanks for coming on. So, again, it's going to be a separate episode of the 36 Chamber of Shaolin. And next week's movie club is Becoming Bond. You can find it on Hulu. Thanks.
Come back, Mitch.
Thank you.